Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast. Not a strict fantasy show today. I'm just going to take a look at round one of the NFL draft, talk about some of the picks that were made, give some grades out, talk about some of the betting that happened that took place with myself and with others on Thursday night. So go ahead and getting into it. Of course, the first overall pick, Kyler Murray to the Arizona Cardinals. Was this the right selection? Yeah, I think almost for sure this was the right selection. Kyler Murray had the best adjusted yards per attempt of any college quarterback ever. In the entire history of college football, no quarterback was more efficient than Kyler Murray. He also added 1,000 yards rushing, and, you know, I guess concerns about him are probably pretty related to his size and maybe the fact that, you know, we only really saw him dominate for one season. So I guess my answer to those concerns would be, one, Kyler's probably not going to get hit a lot in the NFL. He's pretty good at not getting hit as a runner, and I would expect that Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals, they're going to organize their offense in such a way to minimize the hits to Murray. They're going to teach him to slide, and you know, I would think that probably there's a decent chance that the offensive line gets better from what it was last year because air raid coaches know how to coach offensive lines. They set things up in such a way that it's easier for offensive linemen to do their jobs, and the fact that they're not, you know, being forced to run block for these awful, you know, 2 millimeter up the center runs is going to be a benefit for Kyler as well. Guys like to pass block. I know a lot of the conversation about the NFL talks about how much guys love to run block because they get to be the attacker. But I think this new version of NFL linemen, I think they enjoy the passing game because it's really a one-on-one battle that they have to do. So I would give the selection by the Arizona Cardinals an A. I think you can probably take some umbrage with how they handled the Josh Rosen situation, but overall, I think that this was an intelligent pick, and I think that being afraid of having the two quarterbacks on the roster would be a legitimate mistake if they believe that Kyler is a franchise quarterback, which I also believe because he probably is a franchise quarterback. Second pick of the draft, Nick Bosa. I mean, you know, no surprises. Bosa was the best defensive player in the draft. The best edge rusher in the class, though he was not the most athletic. They have a pretty good front seven now. They had only 37 sacks last season, and they were the third worst pass defense by expected points in 2018. Part of that related to the fact that their secondary was pretty bad. And, you know, an easy way to make your defense better is, hey, you start pressuring the quarterback. You get pressure on the quarterback, things are going to be better for you. No umbrage with this pick. So Quinnen Williams goes off the board at 3. Adam Schefter actually tweeted out the Jets were trying to trade out of the 3rd pick. I actually think that this is a pretty smart idea. Not that Quinnen Williams is a bad pick. I think Quinnen Williams is a really good pick. But he's a nose tackle, right? He is an interior defensive lineman. And though he was the consensus 3rd or 4th best player in the class, obviously, you know, he does not add a ton of positional value despite being good. So if they could have traded back to get, you know, the 9th or 10th pick and taken Ed Oliver, taken even Devin Bush or taken one of the offensive tackles, I actually mocked them Andre Dillard. So if they could have traded back and done that, I would have liked that more. But given that they did not find a willing trade partner, really no issues with this pick. I would give the pick itself an A, but I would give the value for it like a B-. The 4th pick with the Oakland Raiders, that's where things started to get a little weird. Clelin Ferrell goes over Josh Allen, goes over Brian Burns. Ferrell was like the edge number 4 or 5 for most people. Some people had Rashawn Gary over him. Some people did not. Not super athletic, not the most productive edge in the class, but a couple things about Ferrell, you know, basically everyone praises his character, and it seemed that the Raiders were really trying to emphasize that in the draft, and yes, this is a reach, yes, this is like a C-minus sort of pick, but it was the right position, and, you know, they needed to add an edge rusher, so, you know, the fact that, you know, we don't know anything, so is Josh Allen a better prospect than Ferrell? Absolutely. I would say the 3 picks the Raiders made, this is actually probably the best in terms of like valuing the right position. Pick number 5, Tampa Bay takes Devin White after, you know, I sort of assumed that this pick would get traded. White won the Butkus Award, led the SEC in tackles in 2018, but he's an inside linebacker, so they should have taken Josh Allen or Brian Burns or even Ed Oliver. But if, you know, if you're taking an inside linebacker, take a guy who is as good as Devin White. Number 6, this is the most hilarious pick in the history of the NFL draft, and I really want to think about what just happened here. Dave Gettleman gets the number 6 overall pick, refuses to trade down, does not take Sam Darnold, does not take Josh Rosen, does not take Josh Allen, does not take Lamar Jackson last year. He decides to wait a year and take a guy who would have went in, you know, the 4th round last year. Is there any evidence that Daniel Jones is better than Kyle LaLetta, who is already on the Giants roster? Is there evidence that Daniel Jones is better than Geno Smith? I am not 100% sure that there is evidence that Daniel Jones is an NFL quality quarterback. He goes at number 6 overall to the New York Giants. Jones could not top 7 adjusted yards per attempt at Duke in the ACC, and he steps into an offense that really is not situated for a rookie quarterback to be good. They don't have a good offensive line. The pass catching situation is pretty dire. Their best target is really Evan Ingram. They're going to run the ball a lot. Eli probably is going to start for at least another year, if not more, because I just can't imagine a scenario where they're ready to toss Daniel Jones to the Wolves in what is a bad offense. This is for Giants fans, this is a categorically terrible draft selection. Daniel Jones is going to be one of the worst draft picks in the history of the New York Giants franchise, and the team is, they're not going to win. This gets an F minus from me. This is just as bad as picking Saquon. You know what? No, this will get an F plus for me because it's not as bad as picking Saquon, but it basically submarines their franchise even further, because this was their chance to get a quarterback, and they could have taken Dwayne Haskins, they could have waited to take Drew Locke, they could have waited to take Will Greer, they could have even taken Gardner Minshew in the 5th round, and I would honestly prefer Gardner Minshew for 16 games over Daniel Jones, I think, because I know what Minshew can do. It's not going to be great, but it's going to be an acceptable NFL quality, and I really don't know if Daniel Jones will be able to deliver acceptable NFL quality. Next, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they take Josh Allen, best edge rusher in the class, or second best edge rusher in the class, sort of out of that Bosa Quinnen tier in terms of defensive linemen. This is a good pick. I thought that they were going to take Hawkinson. I prefer Allen, you know, give me the edge over the tight end. T.J. Hockenson then goes number 8 overall to the Lions. Funny enough, the Lions are the last team that took a tight end at number 8 overall, Eric Ebron. I actually like Font a little bit more for receiving purposes, but this is a good pick. You know, Hockenson is a great blocker, and I think that he sort of, if he hits his top range of outcomes, he definitely has the potential to be a sort of Kelsey-esque player for the Lions offense, where he's an absolute mauler in the ground game, is a really efficient red zone target, and helps move the chains over the middle of the field. The Bills, they make an excellent pick, getting Ed Oliver at number 9. I don't think it's impossible that Oliver ends up being the best defensive player in the entire draft. I think it's a legitimate steal to get him at number 9. In my last mock, I projected the Bills to have to trade up to number 5 to get him. So staying put at number 9 and getting Ed Oliver, who, you know, I mean, he's like watching a Tasmanian devil play nose tackle. He's just all energy and arms, and he gets after the quarterback from an interior position. I think that this is pretty strong. I would give this pick a solid B+. Next pick, we get a trade up, our first trade of the top 10. Devin Bush from Michigan is the target for the Pittsburgh Steelers after they trade up to number 10 for the Broncos. This is pretty strong for the Broncos. Obviously, getting the trade back is huge, and the Broncos made a great selection at, I believe, 20 is where they picked. They took Noah Font. I think getting Font and an extra pick, pretty strong. I actually thought Font could have gone as high as number 12, so good pick. Devin Bush was long rumored as the primary target for Pittsburgh here. Do I think that this is a strong pick? I don't. You know, taking an inside linebacker at 10 and trading up for it, pretty bad. I would say like a C+ sort of pick. Definitely a position of need for the Steelers, but this is just not a position that is super important. It's fine. The Bengals, the next pick, they take Jonah Williams, who played left tackle in college, but is probably going to be a guard or a right tackle in the NFL. The reason that I like this pick, I don't like Jonah Williams as much as I like Andre Dillard. I thought Dillard was the best tackle prospect in the class, but they definitely did need an offensive lineman. If the new Bengals offense under Zach Taylor was going to work, they needed a clean pocket. Andy Dalton, from a hurried perspective, one of the worst quarterbacks the NFL has. From a clean pocket, he's actually above league average. So they needed to leave this spot with a lineman or a quarterback. They left it with a lineman. They did the right thing. The next pick, number 12, Green Bay, they just got weird, right? They took Rashawn Gary, and then later in the draft, they traded up for Savage, the safety from Maryland. So right away, I would not have taken Gary over Brian Burns. I thought Brian Burns was clearly a better player. Gary was a better edge rusher, but was like a rotational defensive end in college. Really not a guy you're wanting to build your defense around. To top it all off, Green Bay should have been taking offensive players here. You know, Aaron Rodgers is 35. The time to start maximizing that offense is now. So this pick is like a D for me. Even if Gary ends up being a good edge rusher, I don't think that this is a great pick, simply because Green Bay needs to be putting their resources into their offense. Next pick, Christian Wilkins to the Dolphins. Again, sort of a weird pick for me. I thought that they were going to take an edge rusher, an interior defensive tackle for a rebuilding team. Not unless Wilkins becomes, Aaron Donald or whatever, like is a super destructive interior lineman. I did not think that this was the best way for them to, sort of start their rebuild, but I guess I get it. Like, I think Wilkins is a good player, but I would have preferred the positional value of Burns. The Falcons take the first guy that was out of a lot of draft picks top 50s, Chris Lindstrom, offensive guard. You know, what can you say? Good offensive guard, but I probably would have preferred Cody Ford, who didn't even end up going in the first round. Washington makes what I thought was a pretty intelligent pick. I'll give this an A. They needed a quarterback given the Alex Smith situation, the broken leg, the infection in the leg. I mean, Alex might never play football again, and they'll be paying him $25 million a year or more. You know, I think Alex has something crazy like $90 million guaranteed dollars or whatever. So they needed a quarterback. They needed a quarterback on a rookie contract because there was no way that they could really pay a quarterback, especially, given their constraints with the Alex Smith situation. So, Haskins, my number two quarterback in the class. Some really talented evaluators had him as their number one quarterback in the class. This is a sharp pick. This was good. Why I hate to see Washington do something intelligent, but, it's pretty solid. Carolina takes Brian Burns next, and I'm going to give this a B minus, despite loving Brian Burns. Brian Burns was one of my favorite edge rushers I've ever watched as a prospect. I think he has a really good bend. I think he's really athletic. I think he's going to make an instant impact for Carolina. But they made the same mistake that the Packers made, which is looking at their offensive situation and standing pat in the first round. Them not taking an offensive lineman here is just bizarre, given the concerns over Cam Newton's health. They have good offensive players, but they need an offensive line to really open things up. And this is a brutal pick in terms of valuing their offense. Though I think Burns will be someone that sticks on that roster for 8 years. The next pick, another F pick from Gettleman. Dexter Lawrence, not really a top 30 prospect in this draft. Probably not even a top 10 defensive lineman in this draft. Drafting a run-stopping nose tackle at the 17th pick. Just more bad stuff from Gettleman. Just really, he turned Odell Beckham into a nose tackle. So, what can you do with that? Just really horrible from Gettleman and from the Giants. The Vikings answer a pressing need, draft Garrett Bradbury from NC State. Going to give this one an A. This is the number one need for the Vikings. They answered it with one of the most one of the most athletic interior linemen that the Combine has ever seen. Fits right into the offense that desperately needs athletic interior linemen. He's not super big, but, you know, actually, I think as teams move to spread out more, guys like Bradbury are going to be the new prototype of offensive lineman. This is absolutely fantastic. Definitely an A here. Already talked about Font a little bit. The Denver Broncos get him with the 20th pick in the NFL draft. Noah Font, he's a good player. I don't feel great about having Flacco at quarterback, but moving forward with an offensive nucleus of Sutton, Hamilton, Font, Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. That's a good offense. That's an offense that you can build something on, and that offense will definitely be able to score points. So in on that. Next pick, Packers traded up for a safety. I mean, what are you trading up for a safety? The safeties matter less now than they ever have, really, in the NFL. So pretty mediocre move there. Even if Savage is like sort of a great player, which a lot of scouts sort of thought that he was. Next up, the Eagles traded up for Andre Dillard. Thought this was pretty intelligent by them. Andre Dillard is, probably the best tackle prospect of this class, maybe even of the last couple classes. He's already ready to protect Carson Wentz's blind side. He put in more pass protection reps than anyone else in the country because he played at Washington State, where they pass every down. It would not be surprising for me if Dillard ended up becoming, considered the best left tackle in the game 3 or 4 years from now. Like, really, really a good pick, I think. The next pick was a little weird, and I think maybe the Texans were thrown off by what happened right in front of them. I think that they thought they were going to get Dillard, but they ended up taking Titus Howard, who was an FCS right tackle. Super athletic, a converted college quarterback who played right tackle in college. The issue that I have with this pick is that Ford played right tackle in college, and he's raw. So they need help right away. That would be the issue that I would have with that would be the issue that I would have with Ford. Not that I think that he's a bad player, but why are you picking a raw player when you need to help right away? And I think that they're like realistically in a Super Bowl window. So I thought that was a little odd, though I think that I overall get the reasoning behind the pick. The next pick, you guys already know, horrible pick, F-. Josh Jacobs heads to the Raiders. Running back in the first round, not even really a good running back. 16 rushing touchdowns, not even 1,500 rushing yards in 3 seasons at Alabama. I think a big part of his draft stock was the fact that he was the MVP of the SEC championship game. This is an F minus. This is horrible. Like, just really bad. Next pick, Marquise Brown goes to the Baltimore Ravens with the 25th pick. I think that this is a weird fit for fantasy football, but I think this is a really good fit for real football. Brown is going to create a bunch of space. He's going to run a lot of bubble screens, a lot of jet sweeps. He'll be able to be used sort of in the option game if that is something that the Ravens try and do, because he's just so fast. He's so athletic. But, the ceiling for his targets might be like 80 for his rookie year, just because it's not going to be a super high volume passing game. Montez Sweat then goes to Washington. Sweat fell down draft boards supposedly because of a heart condition, but some reports early on Thursday said that that was like maybe a misdiagnosis. So Sweat could end up being one of the steals of the round. I gotta say, Washington, I'm giving their round one of their draft an A, because they got a quarterback, they got an edge rusher, they filled two of the three most important positions, and they're ready to go. Like, this draft made their team better. Not to be outdone by their last two picks, Oakland selects a box safety. Really, really, Jonathan Abram is sort of more of an enhanced middle linebacker. So just sort of an unreal, 1989 sort of pick for the Raiders. Not super sharp from them at all. The Chargers then take Jerry Tillery, another defensive tackle. No issues with this pick. My boy Thor Nystrom from RotoWorld seemed to be really high on Tillery. Seems to be a really intelligent guy. A lot of people like him. Very good pick. Well, not a very good pick. A fine pick. I think he makes their team a little bit better. But again, not a super huge position of need. LJ Collier goes to the Seattle Seahawks at 29. This seems to be a horrible pick. This is their replacement for Frank Clark in the rotation. Collier was like a backup at TCU, super unathletic, basically sucked at the combine, was sort of like a backup at TCU. Really just a weird pick, you know, probably went 30 spots too high to the Seahawks. The Giants take DeAndre Baker. They traded back up to get him. Guess what? Trading up to get a cornerback when Byron Murphy was there, you know, a few picks later when Greedy Williams was there, when Rakia Sin was there. Guess what? Even if DeAndre Baker's good, this is horrible. This is a bad pick. No surprises. Gettleman messing things up. Caleb McGarry, he goes as a, you know, offensive tackle from Washington. Back-to-back first team all Pac-12. You know, I preferred Cody Ford. McGarry seems a little undersized. Whatever, you know, no real issues there. And then the crown jewel of the draft for fantasy football purposes, we got N'Keal Harry going to the Patriots. N'Keal Harry was my number one wide receiver of the class, was most people's number one wide receiver. His athleticism, his spark score, his breakout age, his dominator rating at Arizona State, all of this really paints the profile of a future wide receiver one. So a big fan of N'Keal Harry going to the Patriots, and think that's a pretty interesting spot for Dynasty fantasy football purposes.